following has been pre-recorded for your listening and dancing pleasure.
This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
This is Central Nebraska's most listened to all sports radio station.
We always parade winners around here.
From 1460 KXPN and 1550 KICS, you're listening to Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
For any of you who have listened in the past, you know that I am not a radio-trained personality, so we are just going by the seat of our pants.
It's time for the Tri-Cities number one sports show. You're listening to the Doug and Daddy Show.
Victoria and Zaretska, you know, these Russians, they need to buy a vowel. Let me just say that. They need to buy a vowel with that first name.
Now coming to you live from the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Need a vehicle? Think Midway.com.
No. I don't think that. It's just minor. It's just a minor sin. It's a minor one. Well, I'm coming to you then for some of the major ones.
It's time for the Doug and Daddy Show.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Glad to have you along with us. Doug Duda, producer-engineer Jeff Babel. We will also be filling you in with today's guest list, which includes, from the BTN.com, one of their outstanding writers in Sean Merriman. Not that Sean. Not that Sean Merriman, Jeff. It's Sean Merriman that works at BTN. So we're going to talk to him. He has Amir Abdullah right now as the best football player in the Big Ten Conference, which I know Nebraska fans will not disagree with. We'll ask him why he believes that is the case. And the interesting thing is, you look at what he and Tom Deanhart have talked about as the top five. I don't think they would have been the top five outside of Amir and Christian Hackenberg's on there, but there's some difference of opinion through the first couple weeks of the season as to who's very good. I'm sure it'll all shake out, and those names that we talked about during the summer, during Big Ten Media Days, will rise to the top again. But we will talk with Sean about that. We will talk with him about the weekend slate of games. A lot of the BTN folks think that Rutgers is going to beat Penn State. Why do they think that? We'll find out. That's coming up. We'll also get a little chat on Nebraska football. Monty Kratz assigned, former tight end of the Huskers, will chime in with us for a few minutes at the bottom of the hour. And it's Thursday. That means fantasy football talk with Luke Hoover of RotoWire. Week one is in the books. Where did you do good? Where did you need some help? Who are you going to put in the lineup tonight, Thursday night football, Pittsburgh and Baltimore right here on ESPN. So if you have a question of any kind, love to hear from you every week. You can send it during the show. And again, you know, our email, our Twitter, our Facebook, it's always open 24/7 all week long. So whenever you think of it, drop us a note. And of course, today, Luke Hoover is with us. So the Twitter address at ESPN 1460 1550 at ESPN 1460 1550. You can always email the Dent Popper inbox for any reason. Doug and Daddy at ESPN Superstation.com. Doug and Daddy at ESPN Superstation.com. Facebook us at ESPN Superstation. Love to hear from you. And of course, the Kearney Chicken Coop fan line, 888 455 ESPN, 888 455 3777. 76. Glad to have you along with us on today's program. Sometimes you just go, can we catch a break? This is not what the Thursday night home opener is supposed to be like for UNK. You're supposed to be able to get the whole community out there, the student body, the shorts, the t-shirts, your UNK garb, your tailgate. It's not supposed to be raining and in the 40s. What is this? Come on, it's September. But the Lopers at Washburn will battle it out tonight, the home opener on this Thursday. The rest of the games this season are on Saturdays, of course. So if you get a chance, go out, support your Lopers. Big game tonight. It'll be interesting to see after week one, where both teams lost in really totally different fashions, how that will carry over here. If the Lopers could get a win tonight, it would really wreck Washburn off to an 0-2 start and get them pointed in the right direction wins and losses-wise. I think the Lopers are headed in the right direction slowly but surely here in the MIAA. Last Thursday gave a very good performance, especially defensively. They're going to need that defensive performance again tonight to slow down a high-octane Washburn offense. And then conversely, I think it's going to be UNK's offense against Washburn's defense, because Washburn gave up 44 points last week to a Lindenwood team that is not the best in the league, and the Lopers struggled against the best team in the country in Northwest Missouri State. So did they struggle, or is Northwest just that darn good? We'll find out tonight, 7 o'clock. Also, Royals home for a 7-game homestand. They come out of Detroit 1-2. I'll take it. You didn't want to have to nail bite for the third game, but outstanding performance last night by James Shields in the bullpen, a two-hitter. Kansas City still not scoring a lot of runs, but last night, 3-0 was good enough. So they come out of Detroit. They come out of this road swing where they have never led by more than two games, I don't believe. I think their largest lead this whole summer has been 2.5. So they have a 1-game lead right now over the Tigers, and they come home for 7 straight, beginning tonight with the Boston Red Sox. And if this weather system kind of carries over, it could make it interesting. But the Red Sox and the White Sox, who have not been playing great baseball this year, coming into Kauffman. And again, the Royals, if they're going to be a playoff team, this is a 5-2, 6-1 type of homestand that they need to have. And then they have a day off, and Detroit comes in. So it's a 10-game homestand with an off day. And Boston, the White Sox, and Detroit roll in, and then they hit the road for Cleveland and the White Sox to end the season. So this is what it comes down to. This is the home stretch. 10 at home, and then 7 on the road. 17 games left to go, and Kansas City has a 1-game lead in the American League Central race after the 3-0 victory. We mentioned the NFL. Also got a college football game of note tonight. BYU taking on Houston. BYU, pretty big favorite in this one. They are ranked 25th in the country in one poll and a little bit higher in the other after their dismantling of Texas. Remember tomorrow, our pigskin pick'em, which I guess is just, we should just call it, call in and answer the trivia question and we give you stuff, because the way Jimmy and I are picking right now, we're not beating anybody, especially me. At least Jimmy got us to the tiebreaker last week, but we're 0-2. We'll have Jimmy's selections, which got better in week 2, so we know they're going to be better in week number 3. That's coming up on the show tomorrow. Brian Munson, Big Red Report, latest Husker recruiting news, and what his thoughts are on Nebraska going out to Fresno State. We're going to take a break here on the Doug and Daddy Show from the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. When we come back, Sean Merriman, BTN.com, talking Big Ten football and his favorite Big Ten player, Amir Abdullah.
To some, winning isn't everything. It's the only thing. Others say it's not whether you win or lose, it's how you play the game. But everyone can agree that the uniforms and equipment you play in make a big difference in how you play and how you win. That's why TM Sporting Goods gives you that winning edge with top name brands and personal service from seasoned pros like Steve Baradol and Tino Martinez. TM Sporting Goods on the bricks, 2217 Central, downtown Kearney. TM Sporting Goods, a division of Protein Design.
So you work late, golf, played ball, whatever. You're thinking,
if I could just a great happy hour, I've got something good to eat after 10 at night.
Well, Jersey says come on in Monday through Thursday, 9 to 11, and enjoy late night happy hour. For everyone who wishes they hadn't missed happy hour. And they're serving food till 11.
Seriously, why didn't I think of this?
Jersey Sports Bar, your true neighborhood sports bar where the grill and the game are always on. North 2nd Avenue, Vista Point Shopping Center.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
Health insurance is changing. You have new options, but which one is right for you? As authorized independent agents for Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska, Farm Bureau Financial Service agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers know health insurance and can help you understand your options and the differences between them. Contact Rich Peters and Matt Myers and see how they can simplify the process and help you select the right health insurance policy for you and your family. Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska is an independent licensee of the Blue Cross and Blue Shield Association. Securities and services offered through FBL Marketing Services, LLC, affiliate Farm Bureau Financial Services.
Cloudy skies today with a chance for a few scattered showers. We'll top off at high temperatures near 52 degrees. And then more rain is likely tonight as an area of low pressure moves in from the west. We'll drop down to low temperatures near 42. Right now, it's 46.
Doug and Danny Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. The Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. You ever just, you see a vehicle, you know, like your friends, your family, you know what they drive, and then you see these vehicles drive by, and you oh, that's not them. Oh, that's not their license plate. Oh, that's not them. I just caught myself doing that again on a vehicle that drove right by the studio window here. Hey, oh, no, that's not them. But if you want a good-looking vehicle, a reliable vehicle, Midway Chevrolet Buick Cadillac and Midway Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, South 2nd Avenue in Kearney is the place to be. And, of course, it's new, pre-owned, whatever works for you. It is Chevy Truck Month with supplier pricing incentives on the Silverados. Whether you're looking at the 1500 LTs, whether you're looking at the new 2500 and 3500 regular or crew cab, there is customer cash, bonus cash, and trade assist, 0% for 72 months on the 25 and 3500s. Tahoe and Suburban, $2,500 customer cash, $2,000 bonus cash, and 0% for 60 months for qualified buyers. Find out more from your Midway Auto Dealership. Chevy Truck Month, Midway Chevrolet Buick Cadillac, South 2nd Avenue, Kearney. ThinkMidway.com. Midway, it's a better way. Doug and Daddy Show here on ESPN Radio, getting ready for another Big Ten weekend for Nebraska. They are hitting the road to take on Fresno State, their first road game. There's also the first Big Ten game of the season, and we're pleased to welcome into the program Sean Merriman of BTN.com. And Sean making his debut. We usually have a parade, but it's raining here, Sean, so we're doing it inside. Thanks for the time, man.
Yeah, absolutely. It's raining here over in Chicago, too, so that's a fair deal.
This is this early November, late October football weather, so I guess the guys probably like it if they're outside. But I want to start on I got a couple of things here. First off, your rankings this week. You love Amir Abdullah, as all of Nebraska does. What sets Amir apart in your mind from other players in the league as right now the Big Ten's best?
Well, I think that, you know, coming into the year, I looked at him, and once Braxton Miller went out, I looked at him and Melvin Gordon as kind of the two big workhorses in the Big Ten. And so far, Amir has really, you know, outplayed Melvin, I think, in both games. The first game, he was incredible, racking up over 200 yards. And then this past week, he didn't have, you know, a huge game, but he had that game-winning score that was, gosh, one of the best plays of the season so far, I'd say. So I'm really impressed with him and kind of how Nebraska's using him. And, you know, the Huskers didn't play as good as they should have last week. Obviously, that's no surprise, but he's really the engine that makes that team go, and as long as they keep getting him the ball, I think that they're going to be fine this year.
I think for the general Big Ten fan, there are a couple of names on both yours and your correspondent Tom Dienhart's list of the top five that they wouldn't even recognize. Those that follow the Big Ten every day will know this, but neither one of you have a defensive player out there, and I know Randy Gregory's been injured, and Calhoun and Michigan State got some points scored on him last week, but who's the best defensive player in your mind right now?
Ooh, that's a tough one. Yeah, we both had Calhoun on our list coming into the year. And, yeah, like you said, Michigan State defense struggled last week against Oregon. You know, Gregory's been hurt. So one of the guys that's really stood out to me, actually, even though Michigan State defense didn't do that great last year, is their other defensive end, Marcus Rush. He's a four-year starter there who's kind of been an under-the-radar guy, and he had a great game. He's one of the few defenders that had a really strong game against Oregon. He was great in their week one win against Jacksonville State. So he's kind of an off-the-radar guy that stands out to me. Another guy that's been really good is Carl Davis for Iowa. He's a defensive tackle who kind of is the leader on that defensive line. So those two guys are really some defensive linemen that have stood out to me. But like you said, you know, the bigger names like Gregory and Calhoun, those guys haven't really had huge games yet. So we'll see. Gregory's supposed to be back healthy and play this week. So looking forward to seeing him on the field against Fresno State.
Both of you like Wes Lunt, the quarterback from Illinois. Nebraska will see them to open conference play in homecoming. Is Illinois, are one of these bottom-tier teams a little sneakier good, or at least look better than you thought in the first 2 weeks?
Yeah, I would say that for Illinois, absolutely. Yeah, he's, you know, I think that coming into the year, we saw a small sample size of him when he played at Oklahoma State, West Lump, that is, and he was pretty impressive, and he's been, you know, even more impressive than I think anyone thought. But both of their games, they had to come from behind, and they rely heavily on his arm to bring them back, and he's done it both times. They play a Washington team this week that can put up some points, but also lets up a lot of points, so I'm guessing that that's one of those games that might break the scoreboard there, Illinois and Washington. So, yeah, he's a guy that's really impressed me. Both him and Christian Hackenberg have both been outstanding this year. But another team that's impressed me that, you know, you talk about those teams that we kind of thought would be in the middle or bottom here, and that's Rutgers, Big Ten newcomer. They're 2-0. They've gotten off to a strong start. Got a huge week one win over Washington State, and then you mentioned heading into the show that first Big Ten game, them and Penn State under the lights this Saturday. So that's one that we're really looking forward to see if, you know, Rutgers is the real deal. And so far, they seem to be.
We're talking with Sean Merriman, BTN.com, Big Ten Network, here on the Doug and Daddy Show on ESPN Radio. And looking at that game, all of the analysts that make your weekly picks think it's going to be a nail-biter right down to the end, and a majority of you like Rutgers in this game, which I find a little surprising. Why do you guys like Rutgers?
Well, they haven't turned the ball over, and that's really the name of the game, I think, right now. Gary Nova, their quarterback, you know, he was in a quarterback competition pretty much heading into just weeks before the season started, and he leads the Big Ten in passing efficiency right now. He's only had one turnover, so if Rutgers can take care of the ball, you know, they play at home. Penn State, you know, it's interesting to see how Penn State comes out in that game after the huge news earlier this week, so we'll see. But, you know, Rutgers fans are going to be up for that game. We're actually doing our own kind of version of Big Ten game day there. So
yeah,
it's going to be an electric atmosphere there, and those fans get into it. And like you said, I think it's going to be a nail-biter, but as long as Rutgers can control the tempo and not turn the ball over, I think that they have a good shot of winning that game.
Sean, your thoughts on what happened with Penn State this week? All along, just for, you know, since this is our first chat, I have been on the Penn State side of things, knowing that something had to happen, never even thought that the death penalty should have even been brought up, and had it been, boy,
right,
where would they be? But your thoughts on what this will do for a Penn State team who I thought at the beginning of the year this would be their rough year because of the scholarships, because, as we've all said, lack of depth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, if they do happen to get some injuries, that could be a major concern with the future. But I'm in favor of it. I was thinking that this is something that would happen either before the year started or before next year started. I never expected it to happen a couple games into the season, but I'm in favor of it, and I think that it will. You know, James Franklin has done a great job recruiting so far. That guy has made it a point to dominate that state and that area, and he's bringing in some high-tier talents, which has impressed everyone around the Penn State program. And now the fact that he's going to be able to, you know, build on those classes, bring in the full amount of scholarships, tell the kids that they can come here and play in bowl games and play for a conference championship. That's only going to help his, you know, his selling ability when telling kids to come to Penn State. So I think the Penn State's is a program that's absolutely on the rise here, and, you know, will be a big Ten contender in the years to come.
Sean Merriman, BTN.com, with us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. We've been following Iowa this week for a couple of reasons. We were supposed to have Drew Ott on the show. He's from our backyard here in Giltner, Nebraska. Then the motor scooter things comes up. His availability is not as available as we had hoped. He didn't talk to anybody during their press conference on Tuesday. Then you got Scherf with the knee injury. Coach Ferentz has been very guarded about that. Now they've got their rival game. This should be a big Iowa win if it wasn't a rival game, because Iowa State hasn't looked overly good outside of about a quarter and a half against K-State last week. What do you make of the situation with the Hawkeyes?
Yeah, it's an interesting situation, and because with Brandon Scherf, you know, we heard originally there were reports that he had surgery and that he would miss 2 to 3 weeks, and then, you know, Kirk Ferentz came out and said he might even play this Saturday. So very interesting situation with Iowa. Obviously, he's a guy that one of the top players in the conference, projected to be maybe in the first pick of next year's draft, as people were saying. So that's a guy that makes that team go. But the interesting thing about Iowa is this is a team that I thought would really be a team that would pound it out on the ground and control the line of scrimmage. And it's been the opposite. They haven't had success with the run. They've been doing it in the basket game behind the arm of Jay Brudock. So I think against Iowa State, you know, it'll be interesting to see if they continue to pass the ball as much as they have. I don't think anyone was expecting this team to throw it and have success. And, of course, last week they had a scare where they had to come back at the last weaning minutes of the game. But, you know, this week, that's one team that I'll really have my eye on to see how they go about doing it on offense. Are they going to try to establish the run and get back to their ways, or are they going to rely on the pass like they have in the first two games?
Sean, what is the problem with Iowa? Because I took Iowa to win the West because basically of the schedule. I mean, it was almost embarrassing, as we all know how easy it is. Iowa fans think the Pittsburgh game is going to be their toughest here early on. What's causing the problems right now?
I think it's, you know, I think it's a combination of things. Number one, I think you see on defense that people had concerned about, they lost three linebackers, three guys that combined for near 1,000 tackles in their career. So it's not like those guys can just come in and, you know, form an immediate bond. That's going to take time for those linebackers to develop. And I think that, I don't know that people were expecting it, you know, that they're going to be in close games like they were last week against lower-tier opponents, but that's going to happen. It's going to take time for that defense to kind of gel together with that much turnover. And then on offense, like I mentioned, it's just that they haven't been able to run the ball. They haven't gotten a good push on the offensive line. And without Brandon Scherff, obviously that's going to be even more challenging. So this isn't a team that I don't think has the explosive athletes to be able to rely on throwing the ball 30, 40, 50 times a game. They need to control the line of scrimmage and run the ball and rely on their backs. And another interesting thing is how many halfbacks they have been in the rotation this year. They've been rotating five or six backs in and out. And that's tough for a running back, I got to imagine. I think that, you know, any, especially quarterback, but running back too is a position that you need to, you know, get a feel for the game. The more carries, the more better feel for the game you get. And when you're rotating that many guys, it's tough to get a feel for the game. It's tough to know when your next snap's going to be. So I think for that team to have success on the ground, they really need to kind of narrow it down and only run two or three backs and kind of get rid of this, you know, running five or six guys for six or seven carries each. I don't think that's a recipe for success.
And we'll have selections tomorrow, but just a lot of the money for our listeners. Hey, it's going on Iowa State. Iowa opened at 15.5. It's all the way down to 10, a significant move anytime in any game and a rivalry game there. So we'll look at that. We'll ask you the standard question, which has been, you know, bounced around everywhere. It was talked about last week, and now it was not a good weekend, good Saturday for the top of the Big Ten Conference. How much does that hurt with the way Michigan performed, with the way Ohio State performed? I thought Michigan State, I can live with that, even though I think once they figured they weren't going to win it, that's hard to stay with that Oregon team. Well, what's the thoughts here on Big Ten as we move forward closer to the conference season?
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, like you mentioned, last week they go 8-5. They lose their big three marquee games. They have two losses to MAC schools. So it was a bit down here in Big Ten country. But the goal, you know, the goal that a lot of people are talking about is they want to see one Big Ten team get into this new college football playoff. And I disagree with people that say that that's impossible now. I still think it's possible. I think a one-loss team can absolutely get in. Obviously, a lot has to do with how other teams do from other conferences. A lot has to do with, you know, do they still, if Michigan State were to beat Ohio State, is that still considered a marquee win to the committee? If a one-loss or undefeated, you know, Nebraska, Iowa, one of those teams, you know, how's that win going to look? I think that there's a lot of things that play into it, but a lot of people say that Michigan State is the team that, you know, if there's one Big Ten team that's going to make it, it's going to be them. And to that point, I say that that game against Oregon was not a must win, but it was a must play good game. They had to play good. And if you watch that game was very close. The score didn't dictate, you know, how close that game was. Michigan State played pretty well, like you said, until the end there. So I think that if a team like Michigan State, Nebraska, Iowa, if those teams can go through the season with, you know, one loss, I could see the Big Ten still having a chance to get a team in.
Well, Sean, last minute here with Sean Merriman, BTN.com, joining us on the Doug and Daddy Show. Obviously, everybody that's a Cornhusker fan is scratching their head right now. They were all fired up after Game 1. Then they about jumped off the buildings in Game 2. I'm sure this team is somewhere in between. I think even after this Fresno State game, unless they get upset, we're not going to know a lot because they're going to put a lot into this week, and then they're going to have to bounce back and take on a Miami team that's going to be very hungry coming to Lincoln next week. Your thoughts on the Huskers right now and what you're looking for in these next two games?
Well, this game this week is an interesting one because Fresno State's actually gotten roughed up their first two games. I think I looked at a stat, they've gotten outscored 111-40 in their first two games. So this is a game that I think Nebraska needs to come out and, you know, really put some points on the board and take control of this game early. And Fresno State's on offense, they struggled. They've been rotating quarterbacks. Their offensive line has struggled. They allowed 7 sacks last week in one game after allowing 11 the whole year last year. So this is a game that I think Nebraska really needs to come out and make a statement in. And then that Miami game will be huge as well because that's a game where, you know, Miami's a team that's on a national stage. A lot of people know about Miami. A lot of people will be watching that game. So if Nebraska can go through non-conference play undefeated, enter the Big Ten with an undefeated record, I think that, they kind of have control in the West, them and Iowa. And you talk about Iowa as well, that's a team that certainly has an easy schedule, as you mentioned. So when those two teams get together, I think that'll be one of the marquee games in the Big Ten this year.
Well, the big boys had their big games last week. The middle tier kind of have some good matchups that could make the Big Ten a little more interesting. You mentioned the Illinois-Washington game, if Rutgers does trip up a Penn State. But you've also got Minnesota-TCU. You got Maryland taking on West Virginia. Iowa cannot trip up against Iowa State. Just your thoughts about those matchups.
Yeah, there's definitely some good games in the Big Ten this week that I'm looking forward to. You mentioned Maryland. They're another team that I think has kind of surprised some people. They've got off to a quick start, and they play a pretty tough West Virginia team this week. So it'll be interesting to see how they do. And then the Minnesota-TCU game. TCU is another big – Minnesota, it's an interesting team because they're so one-dimensional so far. I mean, they've had such success running the ball, but they've kind of struggled throwing the ball, and that's an interesting game to watch. You know, how will they be able, if they're forced to throw the ball, will they be able to successfully? One of the interesting stats here that I found on Minnesota is that this is kind of one that really jumps out to you, and that is that they rank last in total offense in the Big Ten, but yet they're one of the only unbeaten teams in the conference. So that doesn't add up, but it's working for them. They're averaging 344 yards per game, which is 14th, but yet they're unbeaten. So the run game is working for them. Let's see if it can work against, you know, a team in TCU that will certainly be their toughest challenge yet.
Well, Sean, it was a pleasure chatting with you here on the Doug and Daddy Show. We'll let you get back to your day, and hopefully we can do it again as the season progresses. Enjoy the college football weekend.
Absolutely. Thanks a lot, guys. Talk to you soon.
You bet. Take care. Sean Merriman, BTN.com. Join us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Of course, follow their work as well on BTN.com. The Big Ten issues their release with stats and updates and notes every week. And just the way the standings are right now in the Big Ten East, Ohio State's at the very bottom, Michigan State's right above them, and Michigan is above them, and then you have Maryland, Penn State at Rutgers, the top three teams. It's just weird to look at that because how many times will that ever happen in the next 10 years? Kind of crazy as that all mounts up, and that's because Michigan State, and Ohio State lost games, and the other three all are 2-0 so far on the season. So there you go. 888-455-ESPN, 888-455-ESPN, Doug and Daddy Show. Want to let you know here that the second annual Kearney Therapeutic Horseback Riding Program Horse Show is going to be this Saturday, and it's going on at the Buffalo County Fairgrounds. This has been a the second year. It's a chance for the riders to showcase their talents. You know that we have talked about the Kearney Therapeutic Horseback Riding Program before. This is your chance to go out, and maybe if you've made a donation, maybe whether that's monetarily or with some gifts or just help the program in any way, or you know some of the folks that are in the program, this is your chance to go out and watch the riders and see what they've accomplished with the Kearney Therapeutic Horse Riding Program, and it gets underway at 10 a.m. and it runs throughout most of the afternoon at the Buffalo County Fairgrounds. So find out more. You can check out their Facebook page as well for more details. It's their second annual horse show coming up at the Buffalo County Fairgrounds starting at 10 a.m. this Saturday. Well, he's found a little break in his day. Monty Kratzenstein has slid in here to talk a little Big Red football. The former Husker tight end is... I'm interested, Monty. Your take, we had Jared Crick on the program earlier this week, and I went with what was Coach Pelini like after one of these games? Because there has been one of these games every single year. Most of the time it's a loss. This time it was a win. Just your take on what you saw on Saturday, and by the way, good morning.
Good morning, Doug. Thanks for letting me ring in here. I have to apologize. I've been on the road and out of state a little bit, so I haven't listened, so I don't want a repeat of what you've already hashed over. But
well, I've never said anything smart, so you know, you just fill in. It's got to be better.
Well, I don't know about that, but Jared's one I'm talking about. You know, Crickster knows a little bit about what that's about, so I don't want to repeat anything that he says, but maybe I do. He's a smart guy, but... It's interesting, you know, the tone afterwards. I always watch for little quips in the paper, the press conference, and whatnot. Not necessarily what is said, but how it's said, and so on. And I really enjoy kind of evaluating what the coaches, what you think the coaches are thinking along the lines. And I think Bo Pelini has gotten he's gotten much better at handling himself in these sort of situations. Sometimes I think, you know, in the past he's gotten a little defensive, and I think his team, on the other hand, is also taken, I don't know what I want to say, maybe a little bit more ownership into the whole situation, you know, and I think that's a good thing. You know, each of these guys, whether it be a player, assistant coach, or head coach, blaming themselves is not necessarily a bad thing for a lackluster performance. And, you know, again, I don't want to make too big of a deal out of it. You know, we won. Right. I mean, last time I checked,
won. But, exactly.
But the expectation, and, you know, they did play well at times. I'll tell you what, they played well in the first half, and you know, the score maybe didn't show as well as they played. But you know, again, I don't want to make too big a deal out of this, but at the same time, there were some things that we could see that need to be fixed, need to be worked on, whether it's a long term problem or short term problem. I guess that's to be determined.
Monty Kratzenstein with us here. What do you look up? We just had Sean Merriman, BTN.com, with us. I'll ask you the same question. What are you looking for from Nebraska, not just this week, but the next 2 weeks? Because I really think you can handcuff these two games together. I have a feeling that they're going to do some things good this week, and they'll do some things bad, and then they'll be flip-flop. I just think they're going to hit all areas over the next 2 weeks. What are you looking at?
Well, I look at it as two completely separate games from the standpoint of this will be a test, because you have a fairly young team that you're taking on the road for the first time. And I don't care what anybody says, it changes your routine, it changes your schedule. It's a different atmosphere when you go on the road, whether you're playing at Fresno State or whether you're playing at one of the marquee programs in a loud, loud stadium. It's just a different situation, and you don't know how kids are going to react to that. So, I think we'll play well this week, because we didn't play well last week, and I think, for lack of a better term, I think everybody's got their attention. The week after, if you can't get excited to play a night game against Miami in Memorial Stadium, well, then you really got issues. So I think that's, you know, from the emotional standpoint and from the preparation standpoint, they're kind of two different things. What I'm looking for is consistency. What I'm looking for is the ability to play, and it's so cliche, but play closer to four quarters of football than they did before. At halftime, like I said, last week, I felt pretty good. I mean, didn't you? I mean, offensively, I felt pretty good about our rhythm. I felt pretty good about our diversity. I didn't see the second half coming. I don't know if you've talked about that or not.
Well, Monty, here's what I've said, because as we were sitting there watching the game, and I said this, I go to every Husker game. Usually I miss one home one, and whether that's for work or other, I mean, I just figured this is that game you take your kids to or your family to, and it's an easy ticket, and there's not going to be any news story. Well, I was wrong, and I'll admit that. So I was watching on TV, and we're watching Wisconsin as well struggle with whoever it was, Eastern Michigan or Western Michigan or whoever it was, and then they come out and blow them out. I said at the moment that pick six happened that this game should have been 28-7 at the half, and it's over. I said, as we're talking at halftime, I said, they got to come out and do something good right away, because you know how it is when you let the underdog hang around, then all of a sudden you're tensing up, and that's the B portion of that is exactly how this thing played out. And as Jimmy Lankin said, I mean, Nebraska's just real fortunate that they covered the fumble on that last series, or they do get beat.
Absolutely. And I agree with you from the standpoint of, I don't know that I've ever, is a big word, but I've ever seen a game that turned so much on one play. Tommy Armstrong, up until that point, had played very well, thrown some good balls, made some good decisions, didn't make any mistakes, made a horrible decision, a horrible pass, and all of a sudden that one play led to a total change in the whole stadium and the whole attitude and whatnot. Now, one of the problems was, and I think can't remember who it was, Mike Maddy, I think, mentioned after the game. He talked about, you know, some of the linemen and some of the younger players and not reacting too very well to the adversity. And, you know, that's what you find out about a team. When something like that happens, is this a turning point in the game like it was last Saturday? Or is it a situation where, you know what, one hiccup and now, because we score on that drive and I don't care what you say, that's over. That ball game's over and it's history, and then we turn into, you know, a whole different sort of ball game.
Monty Kratz is tied with us just for another minute here, talking a little Huskers. Obviously, you got to go through the adversity. Everybody's going to do it. See how you handle it that first time, that second time. Still, some guys in there right now that probably weren't penciled to be in game two. And as I mentioned, I want your thoughts as a former player on this too, Monty. I said there was a lot you have as a coach. They had to be talking, and they even said, even Bo said, we want to get Monty across the ball a little bit more. They had to be scripting plays for guys to play in the second half that they wanted to see, and that never happened. Could the coaches have got caught in the second half not having, I mean, they had to go back to the basics because they didn't expect this to be what they needed to be calling in the second half? Is that a possibility?
I don't see that happening. I mean, you have a plan the way you hope things are going to go, and that is, yeah, to give Cross more carries and so on. But as that game progressed, that isn't the primary plan. The primary plan is always, okay, what are they doing to us right now, and how are we going to adjust to it? That's where the problem was, because we struggled. Listen, they flat out said, we're gonna blitz about every play, and we're going to force you to complete a pass over the top of us or complete a pass against man-to-man coverage, and we didn't do it. You know, whether it be overthrows or whether it be drop balls or bad patterns or whatever, we didn't do it. And it's awfully hard as an offensive coordinator to look at that and say, well, you know, we were this close to completing that long pass. Should we stop? Should we do something different? Or should we try it again because we're that close to doing it? And I'm not defending Tim Beck and I, and the play calling and that sort of thing, but Tommy Armstrong the same way. When you come so close, when you see a guy running down the field and this guy should be open, and you get greedy. And Amir didn't touch the ball enough in the second half. Everybody knows that. We just got to figure out that there's nothing wrong with the check down. There's nothing wrong with having one of the best backs in the country one-on-one against a linebacker out in the flat. We're going to win that fight.
I think it was Brian Christopherson Monday who kind of alluded to this too, is that now Nebraska, and I think Tim Beck almost feels like his feet were run under the bus after the game, and maybe even a little bit in the press conferences this week because of that. They're going to go, okay, we'll run a mirror, but the game plan is to probably throw the ball, or should be to throw the ball, against Fresno State, who has about the worst defense in the country.
But it's different to me based on what
for example, McNeese was doing, or what maybe Fresno and those teams looking at that film are doing, it's different than saying we're going to get Amir touches in the zone read, the inside zone game, which was the first game what we did, or getting him touches out in the flat on a little option route as a check down guy. I mean, to me, those two totally different things. You can't run inside power against the kind of defense that McNeese was showing in the second half. I mean, it just doesn't make any sense. But what can you do? You can run some of those other things. I'm an option guy, Doug. I love the option, and we ran an option on fourth down and early on. It was a big game. There was not a horrible call. The defense they were in was a different tendency than what they showed, and we flat out missed two blocks out on the perimeter. But we went away from that sort of a game because I think when that happens, your natural tendency as a quarterback or the play caller is to go away from those things. I love the option against a lot of guys on the line of scrimmage. But you got to practice it in practice, and you got to rep it and to have that in your arsenal. But I guess what I'm saying is you have to be versatile enough with a guy like Amir to say, okay, we aren't just going to hand him the ball. We aren't just going to pitch him the ball, but we're going to get him the ball in some space and do some things, allow him to use his ability.
All right, Monty Kratzenstein, Gothenburg boy. Do you know Bump Novacek's real first name?
Absolutely, I know his first name. It was Jason.
Okay, and do you know that the Sandy Creek Cougars are 2-0 under his tutelage?
Doesn't surprise me. He has been known in his high school coaching career to taking programs that have struggled and taking them and once winning some games. I didn't know that. I haven't followed that. Maybe I should find out what the secret is. Maybe have you done any of their games yet this year? Do you know much about what they're all about?
Well, I know they're about winning. That's what I know about.
They're undefeated, right? So that means that, well, that's what Nebraska is too, right? Nebraska's undefeated. We're undefeated.
I'm not even sure I should admit this because you know my athletic prowess, but I believe Bump Novacek posted me up in a high school basketball game once, and you know that couldn't have been good.
Well, yeah, I might have been on that. I might have been on that team, and so I don't know. We haven't talked about how our paths might or might not have crossed on the basketball floor or somewhere else.
Let's
for another time. That's for another time.
Let's don't. Most of our team had to be in foul trouble for me to be in and him to be on the floor. So, hey, Monty, go back to work, all right?
I will. I appreciate talking to you. It's nice to – I haven't been able to – didn't get in there last week, so it's nice to be here.
Well, hey, next time we can see your smiling face, it'll be awesome. But it's great to hear from you, and enjoy the weekend, bud.
I got a face for radio.
See you, Monty. Monty Kratzenstein joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Before we go to break, let's take a look at our Midtown Mart cooler question. Midtown Mart of Hastings. Home of the coldest beer and coolest topics. Yesterday we asked you which team that's not in the playoffs has the best chance in the American League to make it. And everybody got some votes, but Seattle is the closest, and that's where the majority went here with 43%, followed by the Yankees, of course, and then Cleveland and Toronto. We ask you today, as we do on Thursdays during the football season, how will the Huskers fare Saturday at Fresno State? Vote now at ESPNSuperstation.com. The Midtown Mark Cooler question is always up at ESPNSuperstation.com. Nebraska will win and cover. We've put the points at 10.5. That's basically where it's been all week. Nebraska will win and not cover. I've seen a lot of the early predictions going with that, or Nebraska will continue to struggle in the non-conference, and they've dropped games almost every time but one year, I think it is, so they lose outright. They lose, they win and don't cover, or they win comfortably. Vote now at ESPNSuperstation.com. Luke Hoover to answer your fantasy football questions from RotoWire next.
What does success look like for you? Maybe it's time to start something new at Complete Nutrition, a clean, comfortable place where you can discuss your health and nutritional needs on a personal level. It's more than just a store. It's an experience. Want a supplement plan that works with your lifestyle? It's all here at your Complete Nutrition store. Sometimes it's a short-term fix you need. Ladies, get ready to rock that hideous bridesmaid dress. Yup, it's 2 weeks away and it's sleeveless. Good thing there's Trim 10, a quick 10-day solution to help you lose that last 5 to 10 pounds of water weight fast. Get Trim 10 only at your Complete Nutrition store. Complete Nutrition. Success starts here.
Find Complete Nutrition in Grand Island near Gordman's. Call 382-8663. And in Kearney on North 2nd Avenue. For free shipping, call 338-1348.
Hi, Sean Callahan here. I'm excited to tell you about a company I'm working with that will finally bring you the internet experience you've been waiting for. I'm talking about a company that is so reliable, so dependable, and has such amazing local customer service that you'll be wondering why people haven't done business like this before. Prairie iNet Fixed Wireless Internet will change the way you experience your world. Let's talk about their amazing technology. They have the largest fixed wireless network in the U.S., and because of this, they can pass their savings on to you. That means finally having reliable internet at a price you can afford. Another perk, no contracts. With Prairie iNet, you won't sign a contract ever. I've personally met the people at Prairie iNet. You can trust that you'll be getting a better internet experience, and more importantly, you can trust them. Mention my name, Sean Callahan, and you'll get a $100 Visa gift card and free installation for just signing up. Call Prairie iNet right now at 308-221-7844. That's 308-221-7844.
You'll have fun, fun, fun when you make it Fawner Park.
Time out for lunch today at Fawner Park's Finish Line Restaurant and Sports Lounge. How about a smoked barbecue pork sandwich? Tender pulled pork in a savory sauce topped with cheese and crispy onion rings. Just $7.49. Full bar service too. And you can play Keno and wager on Nationwide Racing starting at noon from Belmont. Tonight it's dinner, drinks, and racing from Remington. So race to the finish line, number one for food and fun.
Ian Eagle here with a preview of Thursday night football. Join Boomer Esiason and me from Baltimore for an AFC North matchup between the Ravens and the Pittsburgh Steelers. Will Joe Flacco and new receiver Steve Smith protect home field? Or will it be Ben Roethlisberger and the Steelers who steal an early road win? Find out on Thursday night football and hear the NFL all season on Westwood One.
The Steelers and Ravens, Thursday night at 7:30 on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
Cam's not going to throw Kelvin Benjamin. He'll throw it, Greg. Both of them are going to stick with him in your lineup. Same thing for Delanie Walker. Cowboys, Miller, touchdown, 70-yard receiving, and or in four of their last five.
Sometimes I just want to listen to the music. Hey, welcome back to the Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. On a dreary Thursday, Loper volleyball team on the road this weekend. Loper football team home tonight for their home opener at 7 against Washburn. Hastings football team home opener Saturday against Concordia. The volleyball team won their conference opener in straight sets last night. That's about as easy as they've beat Doan in a number of years. They're now 10-3, ranked 18th in the country. The UNK soccer team dropped their home opener last night by a score of 1-0, and they are off until next Friday. It's that time, though.
It's time for a fantasy football update with fantasy football expert Luke Hoover of RotoWire.com. Send in your fantasy football questions now and let Luke guide your fantasy team to a championship.
And our fantasy football report brought to you by Cunningham's Journal, your fantasy football headquarters with dozens of high-definition televisions with their giant HD projection TV right in the middle, free Wi-Fi to follow your fantasy football teams, the NFL Red Zone, NFL Sunday Ticket, and, of course, great food from appetizers to big pizzas and sandwiches and coldest draft beer in town. Head to Cunningham's for every NFL and major college football game all season long. If you would like to get a question in for Luke, all you have to do is tweet us at ESPN 1460 1550 and, of course, the Dent Popper inbox, Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. You can also Facebook us if you'd like. And, Luke, good morning. How are you today?
Doing great. You know, ready to get week two going tonight.
I am as happy as I've probably ever been after week one of the fantasy football season because I did well, and that scares the hell out of me. I just want to know, did we get good fantasy totals last week, or is this an aberration?
Yeah, you know, there were some pretty big numbers, from a few different receivers and running backs, and you obviously saw Julius Thomas just go crazy in the Sunday night game. But I don't think it's an aberration. I think you're going to see some steady production all year, especially now with the defensive rules in the secondary.
Let's get into waiver wires here, because obviously the Ray Rice situation is what it is, but the Baltimore Ravens still have to play football, and they have 15 games remaining, and they were expecting him to be back. Bernard Pierce has been banged up. Justin Forsett seems to be the man that everybody's targeting. Who is now the next number one running back, and how is that going to play out if you need to pick somebody up there?
Yeah, I mean, if you're adding a running back off waivers, Forsett looks like probably the best pickup. You know, Bernard Pierce really struggled and lost the fumble, you know, led to his benching. You know, he didn't play very well in the preseason either. I feel like that zone blocking scheme that Gary Kubiak runs in Baltimore might suit Forsett better with his quickness, his ability to make a quick cut in the hole. You know, his size also, you know, helps him in that regard, because he can kind of get through those smaller creases and accelerate into the next level. So I expect him to have some success, and we actually saw how well Cleveland ran the ball against Pittsburgh last week, so I like Forsett a lot this week to have a nice encore. You know, as far as running backs go, if you're digging a little deeper, you might want to, you know, look at stashing a guy like James Starks now that Lacy dealt with the concussion. Sounds like there's a chance he'll play, but Starks has been effective, you know, when he's been on the field over the last season and change. And another name that popped up last week was Isaiah Crowell, the third stringer in Cleveland. Now he's going to be the number two behind Terrence West, and he found the end zone twice. He was a big back with some nice moves and explosion to his game. So I like his upside if Ben takes out longer than we maybe expect at this point.
What about the Arizona situation?
You know, I think you're still going to see Andre Ellington, carrying the biggest burden there out of the backfield. But I like what Stephon Taylor was able to do with his limited reps. I think he'll slowly start to earn a bigger chunk of that backfield. And I liked him as a sleeper coming into the season. I think he does leapfrog Jonathan Dwyer eventually. But right now it's, you know, almost a full-blown committee after, you know, Ellington gets those about 15 to 18 touches.
All right, let's get one here from Mark again. Send in your fantasy football questions for Luke Hoover of RotoWire and follow him all season long, not just for football, but I know baseball's winding down, and they've got everything at RotoWire.com. Here's what Mark says. He goes, I went heavy on elite wide receivers and created a mess of number two running backs for myself every week. So here you go. He says, it's a standard league. Could you pick three out of this group? Stacy, Ellington, Ivory, Spiller. And he says he has Matthews, but he's not going to start him against Seattle no matter what we say. So there you go. Stacy, Ellington, Ivory, Spiller.
I don't really blame you with the Matthews call, because he, you know, he's got that brutal matchup and he struggled against Arizona. I think you probably have to keep Stacy in the lineup. You know, Tampa Bay didn't do particularly well slowing down D'Angelo Williams last week. I mean, these guys should still get in that 12 to 15 carry minimum. And, you know, I like Chris Ivory. Packers didn't stop the run at all, and the Jets are going to have to try to ground and pound him to keep Aaron Rodgers off the field, so I would also have him in the lineup. And then I would probably lean a little bit towards C.J. Spiller between those other two options. You know, he struggled a little bit last week, but he did catch the ball out of the backfield. I think he had some success against Miami in that regard.
Let's go to Eric, who says, Danny Woodhead or Dexter McCluster? And that's kind of a question here, because I got Woodhead in one of those touchdown-only leagues, and when he catches it, it's double points. That's great. It seems that if they are going to score against Seattle, he might be the number one best play. But were you going to go with Woodhead or McCluster?
Well, I mean, in that sense, yes. I mean, I could see Danny Woodhead being involved, because Phillip Rivers might be dumping the ball off a fair amount in that game. But I'd lean towards McCluster. It's just, you know, the complete opposite end of the spectrum as far as the matchup goes. Playing against Dallas, you might end up having one of the worst defenses in football. And McCluster did see about 10 touches last week, and I wouldn't be surprised if that happens again. You know, he gets the ball 8 to 10 times, breaks off one or two big plays. He could turn that into some good yardage, possibly find the end zone.
More from our listeners. This is, I need one wide receiver to go with Andre Johnson. Do I play Eric Decker, Brian Quick, or Rod Streeter?
I would give Decker the nod. I think that the, you know, while the Jets are going to want to run the football, I think ultimately they're going to have to throw it a good amount to try to keep pace with Aaron Rodgers. I know that Jets run defense is great, but I expect a big game out of Rodgers, put some points on the board and make Geno Smith throw it. Decker's the clear number one there.
Maybe another suggestion for this listener, would you say go look at the waiver wire?
you know, that's not a terrible idea if those are, you know, guys you're going to have to start as your number two wide receiver. Although I do like Brian Quick's upside to maybe become that before the end of the season.
Luke Hoover with us, RotoWire, till the top of the hour here, so a few more minutes if you'd like to Facebook us or tweet us or email us your fantasy football questions. Love to hear from you. Fantasy, while we get a couple more questions here, your fantasy studs and duds for this week. And for the listeners that haven't heard this before, I usually ask Luke, there's that guy that you drafted in the top three rounds, and Ryan Matthews might be one of those guys that you just say, this isn't their week. You bring somebody else in, and then there's that guy that has a great matchup. So what's on the horizon for this weekend?
You know, there's a handful at the running back position you can name. You mentioned Matthews, and another name you probably took as at least a number two running back, Reggie Bush. You know, going to have to deal with Carolina this weekend, and they completely stoned, you know, Tampa Bay, which isn't terribly shocking. They were one of the best run defenses last year. You know, and again, you know, the Tampa Bay back we saw, if he's even going to suit up, Doug Martin, I don't really like him against the, you know, Rams defense that's got a really stellar front seven, limited Adrian Peterson to right about 3 yards a carry in week one, even though the Vikings were blowing him out. You know, so definitely bench both those guys. You know, as far as running backs, you know, that guy that's got the great matchup, we touched on it, you know, talking about McCluster, but I'd roll out Sean Green as a flex, and, you know, if I had him in any leagues. Got the ball 17 times last week and ran it pretty hard against Dallas. I wouldn't be surprised to see a little bit better production, you know, as far as yardage and maybe even a few goal line carries.
I'll ask you this. I like Jake Locker. I thought he was heading the right direction before the injury. It's hard to make him your number one unless you just totally didn't pick a quarterback till the end. Obviously, he's going against Dallas this week. What do you think of Jake Locker? Is he an upper-tier backup quarterback, or is he just a guy you play during your bye week?
No, I absolutely think he's one of the higher-tier backups this year. I had high hopes for him last year as well, you know, and he did start to show some signs prior to getting injured. He's got one of the more underrated receiving cores, I think, in the league. I really like Delanie Walker, you know, as a weapon at tight end. You know, Justin Hunter has tons of upside, and Kendall Wright and Nate Washington are just, you know, steady weapons, you know, as well as some guys out of the backfield. So, yeah, I definitely like his upside this week with a great matchup against Dallas. You know, if you have one of those guys, I would give some consideration to benching a guy like Jay Cutler, you know, who I'd rank higher and put him as a borderline number one, or even maybe a Tom Brady for a guy like Locker, you know, who's got a lot of upside.
This comes from Ben as we go to the tweets here. Ben says, in a PPR league, do you go with Cooks, Benjamin, or Hawkins from Cleveland?
You know, I would have such a hard time benching Brandon Cooks in a PPR league. You know, he got, honestly, 8 or 9 targets in week one, you know, caught 7 of them. Had a red zone look and got that short touchdown. I love Benjamin's upside, you know, and I think that Carolina will have to throw it a fair amount against the Lions with that tough Detroit run defense, but Brandon Cooks is going to catch a lot of footballs from Drew Brees this year. I wouldn't bench him.
This comes from Andy. He says, my question for Luke, and a little background, he's got Matt Ryan as his quarterback, LeSean McCoy running back. He goes, are any of the following a better flex option than Roddy White? And he's got Kerry Robinson, Cecil Shorts, Marcus Wheaton, Darren Sproles, regular league.
No, I wouldn't say so. You're just going to want to watch and monitor Roddy White's status leading up to the game. He was dealing with a little bit of a minor knee injury and was limited in practice, but it sounds like he'll probably suit up.
This comes from Orion. He goes, and it must just be a standard league. All he says is pick 3, Carlos Hyde, Frank Gore, Chris Johnson, no Sean Moreno, DeMarco Murray, Alfred Morris.
Oof,
that's good job, by the way, Ryan. Good job there, man.
Yeah, that's difficult to pick just 3 of those guys. You know, given how Green Bay defended the run, I would definitely put Chris Johnson out there once they had around 90-plus total yards, was really involved as a receiver as well, caught 5 passes, did find the end zone. You can't bench DeMarco Murray, you know, though. He's playing some of the best football of any, you know, running back in the league right now, and I don't think Tennessee is going to be a particularly tough run defense, even though they limited Jamal Charles. You know, and actually, you know, that second option you mentioned, the escaping blue, if it was Moreno, I think it was Moreno.
Moreno, Gore, Alfred Morris.
After he just gashed New England. Even though those Niner backs have a good matchup with Chicago, they're probably going to steal from each other. And I think Morris played well last week, but I just don't like that Washington offense overall. And Jacksonville, you know, is a sneaky good defense this year, I believe. They limited McCoy on the ground last week.
Must play tonight is who, Luke?
The must play for tonight?
The guy that you need to make sure is in your lineup tonight. Don't forget to get your Thursday night lineup set. Who's got to be in there for you?
Well, I mean, at this point, I think it's a given. You can never bench Antonio Brown. The guy is just so talented. Maybe he just, you know, likes to toy with Joe Hayden, who's one of the best cover corners in the league. But he seems to always tear up Cleveland, you know, in an impressive way last week. A guy I like, though, you know, to maybe get in the lineup if as a flex if you have some of those tougher matchups this week is Steve Smith. You know, he had 15 targets last week from Flacco, and I expect him to have to continue throwing the football a good amount. And, you know, Steve Smith's just so competitive. I think he's going to bring a lot of fire to that rivalry and have a nice game again.
I can't complain with my point total, but I had Smith on my bench in a PPR league, so hopefully he keeps the hot stuff up. And finally, I'll let you out of here with this. We talked about all these running backs, and I don't think we brought up MJD out at Oakland. Darren McFadden seems to be the forgotten guy. If he gets a chance, is he worth it?
You know, absolutely, because MJD just had a little procedure this week on his hand. It sounds like he is questionable to play. It hasn't been made clear exactly what that procedure was, at least not that I've seen. But if for any reason MJD can't go, you know, Oakland's got a Houston defense that gave up pretty healthy yards per carry to Alfred Morris last week. Now I know Morris is an awfully talented back, but I wouldn't be surprised to see McFadden have one of his better games of the season if he is going to be the guy starting for Oakland.
Well, folks, we appreciate all the questions you sent in for Luke. He'll do it every Thursday here on the Doug and Daddy Show. And, of course, Luke Hoover, always appreciate the time and keep up the great work. We'll follow you on rotowire.com as we set our lineups for the weekend. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, looking forward to it, guys.
Thanks, Luke. Luke Hoover, rotowire.com. And our fantasy football report is brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Don't forget to sign up for free for the Doug and Daddy Fantasy Football Challenge. Go to ESPNSuperstation.com. Click on the Doug and Daddy Show Cunningham's Fantasy Football banner. Log in. It's free. The better the player, the higher the price, a floating salary cap league. So if you're in it every week, you're going to get a little bit better look at what's going on there. But you can set your team each week. It can be different. And you don't have to play the entire season. It's a weekly winner, but at the end of the year, all of our winners go in for a drawing for a Super Bowl party for you and your friends from Cunningham's. We've got a $25 gift card to Cunningham's for each and every week's winner. Get signed on and signed in at ESPNSuperstation.com. A couple more notes, and then we'll wrap it up after this.
All sports, one source, two stations, KICS Hastings, KXPN Kearney, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
A better place to live doesn't have to be a dream. Not when there's somewhere where you can make new friends, have new things to see and do, and become a part of a caring community, all on the most affordable of terms. Affordable senior housing at Good Samaritan Society Goldbeck Towers makes this a reality to seniors 62 and older who meet HUD guidelines. Contact a housing professional at Goldbeck Towers for more information on affordable housing or find us on the web at good-sam.com.
On our last episode of As the Wheel Turns, Carl was ending a long-term relationship.
Carl, I've seen how you look at other vehicles.
You just don't look as good as you used to.
That's because you haven't taken me to the Dent Popper. A new spray-on bed liner or bed cover will get people to stare at me. Custom-fit floor mats from WeatherTech will make me feel pretty on the inside.
Avoid the drama with a trip to the Dent Popper, north of the railroad, First Avenue, on the bricks, downtown Kearney.
Since the dawn of time, the land has been nurtured, first by the hands of nature and then by the hands of man. Farming is a way of life here. Today's farmer has a feel for the land, a knowing touch that shows in the riches of the harvest. And for years, they've depended on CHS Agri Service Center to help them. CHS is a locally owned and locally controlled, so the people behind the counters and on the phones are the people you've known for years, people you can rely on. There's a CHS Service Center near you, and always here at chsagra.com.
He's at the 30, 20, 10, touchdown, touchdown. The home team wins.
When you're looking for someone to throw you a winning touchdown, contact your hometown team, the Kroll Agency for Protection, written through IMT or Wadena Insurance. They'll help you customize an insurance plan for you. Call the Kroll Agency in Minden, Kennesaw, Hastings, and Roseland. The IMT Group and you, a team that can't be beat.
Kearney Crete & Block and Christensen Concrete Products have been supplying Kearney, Grand Island, and Hastings with quality concrete and masonry supplies for a combined 140 years of experience, including the new showroom in Grand Island on West Highway 30. Stop in today and let the professionals help you enhance the beauty and the value of your home and business. Kearney Crete & Block and Christensen Concrete Products, building generations one block at a time.
Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Glad to have you along with us as we are wrapping things up. Don't forget tonight, Loper football at home against Washburn. Kickoff is set for 7 o'clock. We'll talk more about the Huskers tomorrow with Brian Munson of Big Red Report. The coach's name for the Shrine Bowl, congratulations. Charlie Shoemaker of Grand Island Central Catholic will be an assistant this year on the North. Larry Martin of Omaha North, Doug Goltz of Falls City Sacred Heart will be this year's head coaches. The Shrine Bowl is at UNK's Foster Field Saturday, June the 6th. Well, we talked about this last week, and we had when we talked with Bob Jensen yesterday, I don't think either one of us knew what happened to SEM, and credit to Kearney Hub. There'll be more there today. They spoke with the SEM activity director, Bill Schmidt. Both SEM and Heartland Lutheran have had some long losing seasons here. The last couple of years, they have not been able to pick up a win. They played each other, and the game went to overtime, and it was a one-point game, and SEM won it 33-32. Obviously, they needed to make the extra point kick. They did. And apparently now the NSAA has ruled that SEM needs to forfeit the game because Lewis Oki, and I hope I got that right, a foreign exchange student, and we see that a lot, come in. They're good kickers. One of the things they can do to participate, among others, but from Germany, apparently didn't have the proper paperwork turned in by the school. So, you know, there you go. That had no bearing on what happened on the field, but paperwork is going to cost SEM the win. They won the football game, but now it will say that Heartland Lutheran won the football game. And as the Heartland Lutheran coach said in a quote today in the Grand Island Independent, you know, okay, on paper, you know, basically this breaks our streak, but they still want to go out and win one the way that they would like to. Preston Gale, again, credit to the Independent and to the Kearney Hub. So you hate to see that, and then you got a situation like that. It's not going to keep either team in or out of the playoffs, but paperwork. High school volleyball tonight, there's some good matchups, folks. Northwest hosting North Platte, both in the top 10 in their respective classes A and B. Also tonight, the annual rivalry renewal, Grand Island Central Catholic and Columbus SCOTUS. Sharon Zavala goes for career win number 901. Against the new first-year head coach, John Peterson. It'll be weird, I suppose, for Coach Zavala to look down the bench, and John Peterson won't be on it. I'm sure he'll be there, though. Kearney Catholics at Adams Central, St. Cecilia's at Gibbon in the Tri-Cities, and then I'll be in Hastings as Kearney High battles Hastings tonight around 7:15. It could be anywhere from 7 to 7:30 start time, depending on how the JV and reserve matches go, but we will have that on Classic Hits 98.9 this evening. So Cozad, Donovan, Trumbull, Ord all hosting Triangulars tonight. A little bit lighter night when it comes to the volleyball, and I think we have hit everything there is to hit. Want to remind you that next Thursday, our sister station, The Breeze, 94.5, where you can hear Royals baseball tonight against Boston and Husker football every Saturday, they will be part of the second annual Team Jack Radiothon. There will be premiums for donations, $5,000 and more in sports memorabilia for auctions. All proceeds go to pediatric cancer research, and we'll tell you more about that as we get closer to next Thursday, 1 week from today, the second annual Team Jack Radiothon. And what a great thing that the Huskers have done, taking a part in this cause. And of course, Jack going through treatment again, so hopefully everything works out for Jack Hoffman, who's just, you know, everybody's seen the story. Cool kid. All kids are cool. You want to see things work out for him. Go out and support your high school team. Go out and support the Loper football team. Whatever it is, there are athletics going on tonight. that you can never be bored by going out and cheering on your favorite team or just catching some of the athletes that you don't get to see from time to time. We'll be back tomorrow. Jimmy Langan in studio with his selections, Pigskin Pick'em. We'll talk with Brian Munson of A Big Red Report. We've got some other guests that we're still lining up for the show tomorrow. Getting ready for the weekend. It'll be fun. We want to thank Monty Kratzenstein for talking a little Husker football with us today. Also to Sean Merriman of BTN.com and Luke Hoover of RotoWire with your fantasy football questions. For our producer engineer Jeff Fable, I'm Doug Duda saying enjoy the rest of your Thursday, and we'll see you tomorrow on a Football Friday on the Doug and Daddy Show.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game over.